All right. Well, welcome to the Seven Steps to Awakening. And it's good to be here with y'all as Regina on the phone. Of course, I'm in the room also as Regina Don Akers, which means that I am able to read the board, so I can read your comments and I can see if anybody puts up their hand. That very seldom happens during the Seven Steps, but if it does happen, I'll be able to see that. Oops, Chris has his, oh, it went down already. I was going to say, is he just playing with me? Right after I said nobody ever puts up their hand. And I think I can also post the links. Yeah, I think I can post the links too because I'm in the room as an admin. So I think that, you know, I have to be doing two or three things here at once, but I think that we can manage. It's going to take a second to post the links, to be honest. Even the typing and that kind of thing on the internet is very bad today. It's been like this all day here. All right, here it comes. Slow motion posting of links, but it is happening. All right, you guys should have the link now. So that's 722. That is where we're going to begin. And what I will do is I will read, quote, 722 from the Seven Steps to Awakening. This is the quote. Realize I am not that ego sense. And rest in pure awareness. Realize I am not that ego sense. And rest in pure awareness. It's a very, very simple instruction. Except that I think that before one can follow that instruction, one needs to know what the ego sense is. And, of course, I've talked about that many, many times during the Seven Steps teaching, but you never know for sure. Maybe today there's someone in the sanctuary who has not heard the Seven Steps teaching before, is not clear on what the ego sense is. So let me just start by defining that ego sense. The ego sense is that feeling that I am a person. Or said another way, it is that feeling that I am me, and usually in this case the word I refers to the body and the mind and the personality. I am this body, this mind, this personality, and I am not anything else. So everything else is not me. You know, you even take what's closest to my body, my clothing, right? My clothing, which is closest to my body, is still outside of me, outside of the skin, and certainly outside of the mind and the personality. Therefore, the clothing is not me. It may be mine, but it is not me. And so that's really the ego sense. And so this particular quote says, realize I am not that ego sense. And rest in pure awareness. I think pure awareness, is something that is difficult to define, maybe even impossible to define. Pure awareness would, pure awareness would be being without the ego sense. That's how I'll define it. Being without the ego sense. So what that really means is whenever the ego sense is here, pure awareness really is not something that we're aware of. Of course, it's always here. To say it's not here would not be a true statement, but we're not aware of it. It's blocked. Whenever the ego sense is here, pure awareness is blocked. So in order to experience pure awareness, the ego sense has to be absent. And this is worth looking at, I think, for a moment. Because as you all know today, you know, everybody talks about awareness. In fact, I had a conversation with Ellie recently, or Lynn had a conversation with Ellie recently. I don't remember which conversation it was. But in one of our conversations with Ellie Ruzdar, she said she doesn't even like to use the word awareness anymore. That's what happens when a word gets overused and people start using it wrongly. No matter how good that word may have been as a pointer at one time, you know, once it gets overused in the popular culture, it just kind of isn't helpful anymore. And Ellie says, I don't even like to use the word awareness anymore. And I think one reason for that is because even when the ego sense is here, so even when I have this strong sense that I am Regina, I am this body, this mind, this personality, I am aware. And so at any point, I can turn my attention to awareness, because awareness is always, always present. But if the ego sense is here, that awareness that I am turning my attention to is not this pure awareness. It's, you know, you've probably heard it described, so now I'm using somebody else's example, but you've probably heard it described as like the moonlight, right? The moonlight doesn't really belong to the moon, it belongs to the sun. It's really sunlight reflecting off of the moon. But when you have the sense that it's moonlight, there's no thought about the sun. You know, lovers don't walk along the beach at night on a full moon holding hands, looking up and saying, oh, what beautiful sunlight. Right? There's, even though that's exactly what they're looking at, there's no idea of sunlight. There's a false idea of moonlight. Right? A false idea of moonlight, an untrue idea. But when the ego sense is here, it's very similar to that, because the ego thinks this is my awareness. The ego thinks I, the person, I, the body-mind personality, I am the king or queen. Funny, Regina means queen. I am the king or I am the queen. I am the ruler. I am number one. I, the ego. Although we would never say I, the ego, but we mean I, the person. I, me, this me that I think of. I am the ruler, and the awareness is mine. Kind of like the moon saying the light is mine. And so when the ego sense is present, even though awareness is also present, there's so many false ideas and so many false perceptions that are also present and just mucking everything up, that there is not an awareness of pure awareness. You can't have both. And so today, as we all know, people walk around with a strong ego sense, very much in place, talking about awareness. And it's true, you know, awareness is here. But that's not the pure awareness. That's not the awareness without the ego sense. It's just not direct. It's like looking at the moonlight and thinking that the moon puts out light, thinking that the ego sense owns the awareness, rather than having the direct experience of the sun. So, when this says, realize I am not that ego sense and rest in pure awareness, we can't rest in pure awareness with the ego sense in place. So it's the ego sense that has to be removed. We have to remove that sense that I am the person. And when we remove that sense that I am the person, it's like, you know, it takes the obstacle out of the way, and then the pure awareness is realized. So again, in today's popular awareness culture, we have a tendency to forget that the ego sense has to be removed in order to focus on pure awareness. And we let the ego claim awareness, my awareness, like the moon claims the light. And then we call that pure awareness, and it's not. So I think it was Ken Wapnick who used to talk about skipping steps. He used to recommend that we don't skip steps. Well, that's true here. We want to be sure that we are letting go of the ego sense. And, you know, when I sit down in meditation and do it, I'll talk about that. I can also talk about when I'm not in meditation, but meditation is more focused, and so it's a little simpler to talk about. When I am in meditation, you know, on a typical day, when I close my eyes, the first thing I notice is the mind still chattering away. You know, just with whatever, whatever, you know, like nothing important, just whatever. And so I start by looking at the mind. And I notice that I am looking at the mind. And what's really important about noticing that I am looking at the mind is because in that noticing, it becomes extremely clear I am not the mind. Especially if we do this every day, it just becomes easy as pie, right? As soon as we look at it, we notice it. So I start by looking at the mind, noticing I am not the mind, and then I typically practice self-inquiry. After noticing that I am not the mind, I ask the question, who am I? And when I ask the question, who am I? My attention turns away from the mind and begins to seek what I am without the mind. Now, in my case right now, and I still very much perceive myself a beginner in this process, and I don't have my eyes open during meditation, so I don't actually know how long it takes, and it varies by day. But I'm going to estimate 20 to 40 minutes of self-inquiry is a part of my meditation process. 20 to 40 minutes of asking, who am I, and turning the attention around and looking at the awareness without the mind. And it seems that as I practice this self-inquiry for this 20 to 40 minutes or whatever it seems there's a deepening that occurs, a deepening of the realization that I am not the ego sense, that I am not the mind, I am not the body, I am not the personality. So you could say it's a deepening of the removal of the obstacle. And as that deepening of the removal of the obstacle happens, then simultaneously awareness becomes more present. And as I feel this becoming steady, you know, at first it feels like it blinks in and blinks out, kind of like you might stick your toe in a swimming pool, and then you pull the toe back out again. So at first it feels like it kind of blinks in and blinks out, which is why I continue to practice the self-inquiry. But at some point it begins to feel more steady. And as it begins to feel more steady, then I just focus on resting my attention on that awareness that has no ego sense. Right? The ego sense is kind of left behind, you could say. And what I may be experiencing is even not on a daily basis, but still on a progressive basis, what I may be experiencing is a deepening and a deepening and a deepening into that I'll call it awareness, into that awareness. But again, the key point here is the obstacle of the ego sense has to be removed. To stand here as an ego, you know, still very strong with the sense I am a person, right? To stand here with this strong sense of a person, notice that I'm aware, and I used to do this, so I get it. Notice that I'm aware, and then say, oh, awareness. I mean, that's like the light of the moon rather than the light of the sun. So the act of removing the ego sense, whether it's done through self-inquiry or some other process, is a very important step. And for me, again, a beginner, it takes time. It takes time. And you know, because I am a beginner, you know, once I move from my meditation and get into my day, my ego sense is back. You know, it's back. And I don't worry about that. I don't worry about that because there's something about this entire process that I just trust. I know some people judge themselves. You know, so for example, some people might sit in meditation and go through this process of removing the ego sense to the best of their ability, focusing on a pure awareness without an ego sense to the best of their ability. And then, you know, later in the day when they're doing whatever they do, noticing they're completely back in the ego sense, the sense of me, and then judge themselves for having lost something. I don't do that. I don't see any benefit to that at all. And I trust this process. You know, prior to this process that I'm involved in now, which to me is the process of... it's taking, you know, I remember, do you guys remember the movie Dead Man Walking? You know, of course, Dead Man Walking was referring to the fact that, that you know, he was walking to his capital punishment and they were, you know, going to kill him. I'm in the process of Dead Man Walking. I don't know how long this process will take, but that is my intention. Is the death of the ego, and I am in the process of dead man walking. And I don't know how long this hallway is. I don't know how long I will have to walk down this hallway before that ego bursts into flames, right? But this dead man walking process is not the first process I've gone through. I'm new at this process, but it's not the first process I've gone through. Prior to this process, I went through a process that I call purification, which was letting go of lots of false ideas that were really, you know, confusing, obviously, but, you know, they mucked up my day and they mucked up the day of the people around me, you know, it was just being a typical wild ego, right? And so I went through this process of purification to at least get to the point where there was more consistent sanity here, able to be a sane ego sense. And when I went through that process, I didn't know how long that would take. There were lots of times when it would seem like I would let go of, for example, the I am bad belief, and then something else would happen, it would be right back again. And I didn't judge that process either. Obviously, I was still judging myself a lot for everyday things, so there wouldn't have been an I am bad belief. But I didn't judge the healing process, which is pretty amazing. I've always known somehow, intuitively, that judging the healing process and judging, you know, my progress or apparent lack of progress in the healing process or the awakening process, I've always somehow known that's a mistake. I've always somehow known that it is helpful to just trust this process, no matter what it looks like. You know, and I've had great teachers that ring in my mind that remind me of that, which I've referred to many times, you know, like Peace Pilgrim, talking about the hilltops and the valleys. And the valley is when it appears that you've slipped back into ego. But she talks about how important the valleys are on the spiritual path, because that ego has to rear its head in order for you to continue to let go of it. And then, of course, we have the voice of Jesus in A Course in Miracles telling us that we do not know our retreats from our advances. which means sometimes when it feels like we've really slipped backwards, we're actually moving forward and we don't even know it. So thanks to these great teachers, you know, I've had this awareness that I can't judge my process. And since I can't judge my process, well, and then the only thing there is to do is to trust it, but that shows up in NTI. NTI says, trust the healing process. So I do, no matter what it looks like. I trust it. So, you know, even though I sit down in the morning and I practice meditation, and then, you know, later in the day, there's this full sense that I'm Regina again, I don't judge that. I trust this process. I trust that the dead man is walking. So again, the quote is, realize I am not that ego sense and rest in pure awareness. And so the comment, the overall comment was, removing the ego sense is key here. Removing the ego sense to whatever degree we can, for however long we can each day, and if it's not all day, don't worry, right? So let's go look and see what I wrote in the journal. Now, this was April 1, 2013 when I wrote this journal entry. And it says, stay with awareness, abide there, attention there, be the self. There's not a lot of talk here in the journal entry about removing the ego sense. And to be honest, that's probably because in 2013, I didn't really yet know how to do that. I would not have focused on that part of the quote. In 2013, I would have overlooked the realize I am not the ego sense portion of the quote and only focused on the rest in pure awareness portion of the quote just because of where I was at the time. And so that's what the journal entry does. Stay with awareness, abide there, attention there, be the self. And that is what I do when I am in meditation. But I do take those steps that I've referred to first remove the ego sense, then focus on the abiding in awareness when it feels to whatever degree that awareness that is prior to the ego sense is being touched. And now what I'm attempting to do, although I am having my usual internet problems today, I'm attempting to give you a link to 723, but I clicked in the message box to type and it is locked up. Oh wait, here comes a little paste. Okay, there it's pasting, and now I think it's gonna send. Voila! Did it send? I don't know, it went somewhere. I don't see it showing up on the board yet, but I suppose it will. There it is! Yeah. Bad internet here today, but that's okay. It happens out here every now and then. We're out in a more rural area. We don't have cable out here. We have DSL, and we have bad internet days. It just happens, and we seem to be going through one of those bad internet days right now. So let me move on to 723. 723 in the Seven Steps to Awakening says, all notions cease. The falsity which arose as the mind ceases when notions cease. First of all, I just want to say I love those first three words, all notions cease. I told you all that I have always trusted the healing process, even though it actually seems to me like the average person doesn't. It seems to me like the average person distrusts the healing process and distrusts their efforts on the path. And I don't know, I would just recommend letting go of that distrust as soon as possible. I don't see how it's helpful at all. But another thing that a lot of people seem to distrust is that all notions cease. You know, ever since I've been on the spiritual path, I've always heard people say in one way or another that the ego continues even after awakening, that the ego continues. And I don't know why, just like I don't know why I've always trusted the healing process, I don't know why, but I have never accepted that as true. Even though I don't have any direct experience at all to sit here in front of you and say, I know for a fact from my own experience that the ego will die. I don't have that. It's just this intuitive feeling that to accept the idea that the ego doesn't really die, you know, that it may become very, very purified and very, very quiet, but it never dies completely, that that's an ego trick. That keeps us short of the true goal, which is ego death. And I've always had this feeling. So I love these first three words, all notions cease. You know, it does at some point, the ego sense does completely die. And to stop short of that is simply to stop short. It's like dead man walking and then, oops, I think I'll stop here for a while and play jacks or play marbles or whatever, not finish going walking down this hallway. And that makes perfect sense in a way. I mean, you know, when you realize that the ego sense is who we think we are, and we really don't know what life is without the ego sense, it makes sense that we might want to not walk all the way down that hallway. So it makes sense that we might enjoy the belief that the ego does not die completely, right? It makes sense. But my intuition, as you guys, those of you who know me, have known me for a long time, you know my intuition can be very loud. My intuition is always very loud on that point, not ever to fall into that belief that the ego does not die. Right? And I see Chris is, I think, asking, he says, ego death equals withdrawal from thinking we know what something is. You know what, Chris? I think the only way to really find out what the ego death is to go for it and experience it directly. Until then, I think we're talking about something that we don't know. We don't know. And so whatever we say about it, we're kind of making it up and then believing our own ideas. In NTI, there's a great line. It's in NTI Luke. And it says, do not stop until you are the truth. And I remember as the scribe of NTI when I wrote that line. But when this experience happens, I know that I will. Right? I don't know what this line means, but when this experience happens, I know that I will. So I think that's the best way to know if ego death has occurred. I can give you, first of all, I'll give you from my point of view, which is a point of view where the ego death has not occurred. And then I'll give you from the point of view of Michael Langford, where it is said that the ego death has occurred. But from my point of view, where the ego death has not occurred, all we have to do is check in an honest way, and do I ever experience me, Regina? And I, you know, of course I do. You know, I may flip in and out of it at this point, which is really nice, but just most certainly I experience me, Regina, and thoughts about me, Regina, right? Don't you experience thoughts about you? I experience thoughts about me, Regina, and I believe those thoughts to varying degrees. So when I can just look and I can see that the ego is not dead. It's so simple. The ego is not dead because Regina is still here. Now, from the point of view of Michael Langford, when I asked Michael Langford, how do we know if the ego death has occurred? He said that when the ego death has occurred, you will not see a universe or a world, a planet Earth. He said, if you can see a tree, if you can see or experience anything, the ego death has not occurred. So, you know, that's the second test, is do I see stuff, you know? do I ever believe it is that? Like, do I ever believe a phone is a phone and a tree is a tree? And a dog is a dog, and my daughter is my daughter. Of course. Well, then the ego death has not occurred. And that's all I need to know. All I need to know is that the ego death has not occurred. And that's very important, because if I know the ego death has not occurred, then I also know I still need to be practicing the practices that the masters are clear lead to ego death. And again, the masters that I listen to, and I don't think I pick them out because they say this, I think that I've been drawn to them in one way or another, and fortunately they all say the same thing. But the masters that I listen to all seem to teach focusing on the I Am presence, focusing on awareness, focusing on beingness. These are different ways that they say it. Focusing on that is the way to arrive at ego death. That is walking down the hallway, dead man walking. And this is why meditation is so important, because in meditation, we can close our eyes and we can spend our time in this awareness, watching awareness practice, this watching the I Am presence practice, this loving consciousness practice, which to me are all ultimately the same thing. They're like different angles maybe at the same thing. And so I love it that they all, even though they say it in different ways, that they all teach the same thing, because then I'm not confused about what I am to do. I don't need to go ask 50 more people, what is it that I need to do? I know. And now it's just a matter of doing it. And so as long as I can tell that the ego has not died, and I can tell that it hasn't, then I know that I am still to do that one practice. As much time as I can per day. Simple. I mean, I love simplicity, right? There's nothing there to be confused. Yep, I can tell the ego is still here. Yep, I know what to do to walk down that hallway, dead man walking, sit in meditation, let go of the ego sense in meditation to the best of my ability, and focus on awareness to the best of my ability. And trust that healing process, because the best of my ability might actually suck compared to a real master. But how do you think the real master got to be the real master? Through the best of his or her ability. And as we do this to the best of our ability, somehow the best of our ability becomes better. Right? So let's look at my journal entry for 723. 723 again says, all notions cease. The falsity which arose as the mind ceases when notions cease. Actually, I want to drink water before I say another word. All right, here is 723A. Mind thrives on attention. Without attention, mind dies. Attention is glued to mind by the belief in a person's self. With realization of awareness isness, I like to make up words in my own journal, and it's my journal, so I can. With realization of awareness isness, that's one word. With realization of awareness isness, there is no glue to hold attention to mind. Again, mind thrives on attention. Without attention, mind dies. Attention is glued to mind by the belief in a person's self. With realization of awareness isness, there is no glue to hold attention to mind. Well, first of all, when I am not in meditation, my mind is certainly more active. And although I have learned not to pay attention to a lot of it, and in fact, a lot of it has died. It's almost like my mind has died a partial death. Now, whether there could be a resurrection there or not, I'm not sure. I think maybe there could be. I think maybe there could be, for example, a resurrection of the I am bad belief, a resurrection of the rejection belief, the betrayal. You know, if I just start listening to those storylines again and giving my attention, maybe those branches could grow back on the tree. I don't know that for sure, because I don't intend to test it. But a lot of these branches have died for me, thank goodness, because of lack of attention. So I know how lack of attention works. But again, the ego sense itself has not died. I can't tell you right now what kinds of thoughts I have about myself. Maybe what I'll do is take some notes during the week and maybe next week share that with you. but I know that thinking about me happens, right? And I know that I listen. I mean, for me, it's probably more like, you know, what am I going to do next? How am I going to get these things done? You know, that kind of thinking. It's a fairly, like I said, it's a fairly benign thinking. It's a fairly benign thinking, but there's still interest in me and my life. But when I'm in meditation, I'm in a focused time of not listening to that thinking. When I'm not in meditation, I can absent-mindedly listen to some of it. So when I'm not in meditation, the mind is getting some of the attention that it thrives on. When I'm in meditation, the mind is being deprived of that attention. And the attention instead is, again, to the best of my ability, going to awareness, right? So it isn't really rocket science to see how meditation helps towards the death of the ego. If the ego thrives on attention, and if meditation is focused time of depriving the mind of attention, we are literally starving the mind to death in meditation. And this shows again how meditation works. And of course, we all want to starve the mind to death to the best of our ability when we're not in meditation. But if you're anything like me, you know, once people start talking to you and things start happening and work shows up and you have goals you have to meet and deadlines, it's easier to slip into giving that mind attention, right? So meditation is very important. And you can also see, when you see that meditation is focused time not giving the mind attention, you can also see why recommendations like Michael Langford's recommendation that you spend as much time as possible in meditation, why that also makes sense. Meditation. First of all, for me right now in 30 minutes, I wouldn't even get away from the mind to any real strong degree. Like I said, it takes 20 to 40 minutes for me to shift away from giving attention to the mind. Maybe I'm slow, but that's how long it takes. So if I was only meditating for 30 minutes, I wouldn't even get into the area of meditation where I'm not giving attention to the mind. But if I'm not giving attention to the mind 10 or 15 minutes a day, and then the rest of the day I am giving attention to the mind, the mind is still getting pretty fat on attention. So the more time that I can spend in meditation, in that focused way of not giving attention to the mind, the more that it gets skinny, right? It's starting to get hungry. It's getting skinny. It's starting to starve. And then when I come out of meditation and I'm back in my day, whatever my day looks like, I need to continue to focus in whatever degree I can to not giving attention. And again, you know, there's all kinds of ways to do that. You know, Michael recommends the loving all method, and really the loving all method, the only way you can practice that is by not listening to the judging mind, right? You know, Gina Lake talks about being in the body, and by that she means in the dishes, what that feels like, you know. So focusing just on the day rather than on your thoughts about the day, focusing on whatever the day is bringing, is much better than focusing on your thoughts about the day. But if you're anything like me, you're bound to slip into thinking, you know, having attention with thought when you're not in meditation. So meditation is a much better practice. Jay is saying, what is a notion? I would call that another word for a belief. You know, like one notion is I am the body. Another notion, a really strong notion, is I am a person. Right? These are notions. Of course, there are weaker notions too, but those are the core strong ones, right? And this says all notions die, which means that ego sense has to die completely. So back to 723A, Mind thrives on attention. Without attention, mind dies. Now, attention is glued to mind by the belief in a person's self. So what this means is, as long as I believe I'm Regina fully, right, then I care about all of those thoughts in the mind about Regina. I mean, that's just the way it is. And as I start to break away from the belief that I'm Regina, I also start to lose interest in some, at least some of those thoughts about Regina. So to the degree that I believe this person as is me, that is the same degree that I'm going to be interested in my thinking. Right? There's a direct relationship there. So attention is glued to the mind by the belief in a person's self. With realization of awareness isness, there is no glue to hold attention to the mind. So when you realize that you are not the person, and again, for me, this still happens strongest during the meditation experience. When you realize you are not the person, you literally see awareness isness as who you are. Then you have no interest in the mind. The mind is just a chatterbox. You know, it actually becomes more and more distant, like a noise in the distance, and you're very, very focused on yourself. Well, again, what I love about the quote is it says at some point all notions cease, right? All notions cease permanently. It's referring to permanently. So 723A, mind thrives on attention. Without attention, mind dies. Attention is glued to the mind by the belief in a person's self. With realization of awareness isness, there is no glue to hold attention to the mind. So let's go ahead and look at 723B. And if you're in with me, you can just scroll to the bottom and click. I will again attempt to give you guys the link, but as you know... it takes a long time. I'll look at Jay's question while I'm trying to post the link. Jay says, so at what state do you think backsliding is no longer possible? When the ego is dead. Yeah, when the ego is dead, backsliding is no longer possible. You know, somewhere in my reading of Ramana Maharshi, and my guess is it's in the teachings, the spiritual teachings of Ramana Maharshi, Ramana Maharshi says that as long as the ego exists to any degree, that it can come back to a more full degree. And in fact, a friend from India sent me something very, very similar today. He used words that I had never heard before, so I don't remember them, nor do I remember the master that he was quoting. So, but basically what it said was there is a type of peace that... that is more of a temporary state rather than the actual ego death. And when you reach that type of peace, you must continue until the ego death, or else the ego can be revived. And we see that a little bit, those of us who have seen the movie Revolver. It happens very, very quickly, but in the elevator scene, remember there's this point where the ego, you could say, pretends to die. Do you remember that? And then the ego comes back, and then the ego does actually die. So yeah. So that, I think that's one thing we need to be careful about is this temporary peace that is not true. It's more like the ego is kind of trying to fake us out so that we quit our practices, think that we have mastered it, and then the ego can sneak back in again. And I think sometimes when you pay attention to some teachers, you know, like, you know, maybe you read stories about them or they're teachers you followed for 25 years or whatever. I think with some teachers, you can almost see this process happen. It's rather funny. You know, you can see the sincere student that the teacher was and how as the sincere students, they reach this state, which I'll just call a state of grace. And as they reach the state of grace, you know, students begin to naturally flock to them, you know, because so many people crave this state of grace. But then somewhere along the line, they start becoming interested in having followers or in making money or in having sex or, you know, and it seems to go in more of an egotistical direction again, right? So maybe the ego wasn't completely dead. It was that false peace. And, you know, again, this is why I asked Michael Langford, how do we know when the ego is dead? I thought that was important for us. If anybody can fall for this false peace, if we don't want to fall for this false peace, how do we know the difference from something that seems so genuine and yet isn't? Right? How do we know the difference? And again, his answer was, when you do not see a world. And so, you know, we have something there that we can use as a gauge. If I still see a world, no matter how peaceful it is, I need to be continuing my practice. That ego is not dead. It may just be hiding. In fact, even in the Bible, you know, Jesus goes out into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, right? And he passes three key tests. In the Bible, if you read this story, I believe it's in Luke chapter 3, at the end of the story, in the 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, it says that the devil withdrew until a more opportune time. So a lot of people say, oh, you know, the ego died after the 40 days and 40 nights. But actually, the Bible does not say that. The Bible just says that it withdrew until a more opportune time. So he may have experienced a lot of peace. He may have spoke as a master. He may have appeared as a master, even to himself, right? I mean, you know, but the ego was there hiding, waiting. And it appears to have come back around the time of the Garden of Gethsemane, maybe even in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's when the final ego death actually happened. So I think it's great to be aware of this, you know, false enlightenment that may be very, very, very similar to enlightenment. But if we give up our practice and we become a little somehow too sure of our enlightenment, that ego can come back. In fact, somehow, I don't like to personalize the ego, but somehow it seems that's what it's appearing to do. It's a, you know, like the other day, this isn't really funny, but the other day there was a lady in New Mexico attacked, and she had the bear bone. She played dead, right? She played dead. When she was fighting the bear, it just made the bear more angry. So she remembered, you know, that they say play dead. So she played dead, and she had to play dead for some time because the bear kept checking her. But she just kept playing dead, and then finally the bear left. So the ego seems to be kind of like that. It plays dead so that we'll leave it alone, so that we'll quit the practices that are killing it. It's just playing dead. We need to wait until it is dead. We need to continue to practice until it is dead. Right? So again, I was looking at 723B. 723 is very short. Remember, the quote is, all notions cease. The falsity which arose as the mind ceases when notions cease. 723B in my journal just says, who thinks? Who thinks I am the body? Who thinks I am the body? What am I going to do after I finish this? How am I going to get all of this work done? Who thinks? And if we just look very carefully at who thinks, we see very clearly that the one who thinks is the ego sense. So as long as all of that thinking is still occurring, then again, we can be very sure that the ego sense is still there and that what we need to be doing is continuing the practice. And that's the end of 723. Of course, I'm not going to go on to 724 now. Because we only have 4 minutes remaining. So tonight we looked at quotes 722 and 723. Let's look at those together for a moment. Quote 722 said, realize I am not that ego sense and rest in pure awareness. And here what I talked about is when we're in the practice of meditation, what needs to happen, at least with my limited experience, is first that ego sense needs to be removed. And I said that I spend 20 to 40 minutes, probably, my eyes aren't open, but that's what it feels like, 20 to 40 minutes practicing self-inquiry, And the purpose of that is to remove my interest in the thinking mind. And again, remember, as the journal said, what keeps my interest in the thinking mind is the idea that I am Regina and the mind is talking about me. My day, my memories, my whatever. So the first thing I do is remove that ego sense. I don't sit in meditation with a strong sense that I am Regina meditating, focusing on awareness. First, I'm getting rid of, albeit temporarily, first I'm getting rid of that ego sense through self-inquiry until I arrive at a more stable position of seeing myself as awareness, isness, and not seeing myself as the mind, not seeing myself as Regina, not seeing myself as the body personality. And when I arrive at that more stable sense of myself as awareness, isness, that's when I drop the self-inquiry. It's no longer needed. It's done its job for the day. And I focus, you know, on what we would call awareness, watching awareness, or the loving consciousness method of meditation. And if at any point during the meditation, and sometimes this happens more, sometimes this happens less, when the attention drifts back to the mind, I would practice the self-inquiry again to return to this more stable position, but usually it doesn't require the same amount of effort as it did in the beginning. So realize I am not that ego sense, step one, and then step two, rest in pure awareness, right? And then 7:23, all notions cease. We do not want to fall for the idea that the ego does not die completely. Because if we fall for that idea that the ego does not die completely, we do not finish the job. Also, we want to remember, as we talked about, there does seem to be, at least for many people, this false peace, which could resemble an ego death, like it does in the elevator scene of Revolver, but it's not the real thing. And so even when we reach this incredible peace, remember Jesus in the Bible, 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, and then the devil only withdrew until a more opportune time, right? And so the practice needs to continue. It needs to continue. Remember, the goal is complete ego death. And that is promised by the masters as something that does occur. So all notions cease. The falsity which arose as the mind ceases when notions cease. And remember, the key notions are, I am the body, I am the mind, I am the personality. All right, that's it. So I'm going to let go of this mic, and we'll go to movie group. Thanks for hanging out with me, y'all. Bye.